Mental Health Monday
on Radio City Talk
with Mick Coyle.
Tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.
So here's how Mental Health Monday works. Every single week on the radio, we sit down and we talk about mental health. It's a really simple show, but it seems to be working and people keep joining us every week to share their stories. We've got loads of great guests lined up in future weeks. And if you want to be part of the show, we want to hear from you. If you're a mental health organisation, maybe. Maybe you're an individual who's going on their own journey and you want to drop me an email and tell us about your story so far. Mick at radiocity.co.uk. That's Mick at radiocity.co.uk. We're live on the radio every Monday just after 20 past. Too, and we're also available as a podcast, which you can check out via your local podcast provider. Today's guest is going to talk about his own journey plus an organization that he's working with now. His name is Steve Taylor and he joins us on the show. Steve, pleasure. Great to see you. Thank you for your time.
Great to be here. Thanks very much.
Hey, Ego Men Support is the organization you've co-founded. Relatively new.
Really new. Really new.
But so. Already... Have you upwards of like triple figures in terms of your members?
Not far off, yeah. Certainly on the page that we've got set up, and we're getting there with the Facebook, the closed Facebook group as well. So,
yeah. In terms of mental health, it is such an interesting topic, and it covers a million and one different things. I know through Ego Men Support, you want to touch on as many different things as possible, from depression, anxiety, use of recreational drugs, use of alcohol, as well, coming to terms with sexuality, a million and one different things and a million and one different reasons why somebody might reach out to the group.
Yeah, so I think through my own journey of, we think PTSD, depression, anxiety, I got talking to another guy through various other groups, but what we realised was there's nothing in the local area really for men, certainly to reach out to each other. So that's why we've started the group together, and obviously it's grown. But with that, there's that many different things. People have come to us and said, actually, it's this, it's that, it's the other. So that's why we've got a wide umbrella in what we want to cover within the group.
Just tell us about the name, Ego, because Ego fits in nicely, doesn't it, to that sort of thing?
It does, and there's no real rhyme or reason. It was just something myself and Chris, the other guy, who sorely couldn't be with us today, but... yeah, we just agreed on it. No real rhyme or reason. It doesn't stand for anything. It was just about, you know, men, ego.
But it fits into that thing, doesn't it?
That
ego is something which I think there's a sense now within the mental health community, words like ego are almost trying to be reclaimed.
Yeah.
Because ego is previously the reason why maybe a man wouldn't speak out about an issue that it faced, that they were losing face, that they were losing man points, that they weren't manning up. And that their ego would take a bruising. We've seen countless examples now, haven't we, about how men actually are finding strength in speaking out and sharing their stories.
Yeah, for sure. And some of the stigma around that is starting to go away. But yeah, certainly the ego side of things. You know, men are brought up, certainly northern men are brought up to just shut up and put up and just get on with it. And you know, that's what we want to try and stop. Be different about. I know only, you know, a few months ago I was certainly the same. You know, I haven't got a mental health problem, and you know, I haven't got depression, and it's caused me angst, it's caused me family angst, you know, and it's got that bad. But I think it's about self-realization that, you know, you have got mental health issues, you know you have got depression or anxiety and things like that. So,
well, I think as well, as much as the world is moving on from a mental health point of view and learning to talk about this, I think the knowledge around the fact simply that everyone has mental health is still a message which I think probably breaks through to maybe less than 50% of the population, that people, you have got mental health, and sometimes it can be good and sometimes it can be bad. Because I think once somebody understands that, or suddenly that clicks with somebody, they can kind of go, oh, right, well, actually, that now maybe makes a little bit of sense now for me because of experiences. And it's only when you get switched onto that, you think, well, actually, that explains maybe how I felt for the last 10 years. Maybe that explains how I felt through a period of time earlier in life, and so on and so forth. And that's about understanding. That's a relatively simple message to get people to understand, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. I think, once you do, certainly from my own experience, you know, I've probably been like this for 3 years, but I haven't realised until, you know, things have got really bad. So once you've got that self-realization, you realize that actually, yeah, I have got a mental health issue, or I have got depression, or whatever the issue may be. And I think once you get to that realization, certainly I've realized that I'm probably going to have that issue for the rest of my days, but you've got to realize I'm actually okay with that, but I need to manage it.
And that's the thing, isn't it, that people are starting to get wise to now, that phrase that it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
But actually there are people you can speak to, there are coping mechanisms, there are therapies that you can go through, and it's about finding what is right for you. In terms of that moment you thought, hang on a minute, I've realised I've got mental health, and with that I'm having an experience in negative mental health issues. Was there a particular moment where you suddenly thought something isn't quite right here?
So through me and my family, you know, as I said, I'll be open and honest, things got that bad that I nearly lost everything, which is dear to me, and it sort of exploded from there, and I've had to, you know, realise that, yeah, I have really got problems, and I've gone out and done something about it. I've got the help I needed, and, you know, I'm still in a position where I have bad days, but now the good days for me are more than the bad days, which is better.
How long a period of time do you think you were experiencing things like depression and anxiety, and just presuming that that's just the person you were, that was just what life is and what life is like?
So if I go back to 2016, I had a bout of quite bad illness that carried on for a number of months, and it seems to have been since that illness that's triggered it. I went through a low period where I was depressed, I was fed up. I went to doctors and got tablets, but being a bloke, I sort of wanted to get off the tablets, and I thought it was okay, probably because the tablets were masking it. And then after that, the feeling I had was I never felt anything. No emotion, no happiness, no sadness, no anything. And that obviously was not only affecting me, but affecting everyone else around me. It's probably took me two and a half years to realise that, you know, properly and fully accept that I've got problems.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that, isn't it? Because, of course, the thing with medication, that, you know, they were masking it, but you could argue as well that maybe the medication was working.
It probably was working, yeah.
But I think we also have, I think in the UK in particular, we have a strange relationship with medication, don't we, where I think there's almost a stigma around taking it and thinking, well, fine, I'll take it while I need to, but then will it be an ongoing thing or not?
Yeah.
And then people think, well, I'd rather not have the sort of the chemical interruption, if you like.
Yep.
And is there something else that I can do? Which I guess if there is something else you can do, great. But if there's not as well, at the same time, the medication might be the thing for a lot of people that works and can work long term as well.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, what I'll say to anyone listening, certainly men, is don't be afraid to take medication. You know, I've accepted that I'm going to be on it for a long time, and I'm on it now. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it at all.
No.
And as you said, doing other things as well as the medication, I've started doing other things. So one of them is meditation. You know, people look at me a bit strange because it's not a normal thing for a bloke to do. But yeah, that's really helping. And also talking to other people. Okay, you know, I can talk to my wife now. You know, I'm fully aware that I've got mental health issues, and I can talk to my wife, but also connecting with other people who are in the similar situation. As long as you don't take everyone's problems on, then that's fine too. And having that connection with other people really, really helps.
How were you in terms of isolation during that period of time that you really felt like your mental health illness was in full swing? You mentioned you could talk to your wife now. Was it a point that you felt you couldn't share or open up to anyone?
Yeah, and I think that was primarily because I didn't accept that there was anything wrong with me. It was just normal existence, I think is the word. And, you know, I think anyone around me probably felt the same, that they're just existing with me, sort of thing. So yeah.
What were the things that you'd say it was down to? Feeling tired, maybe? It's got a lot on. You remember the excuse you used to make, or
I'm all right. I'm just having a bad day, I'm all right, you know, there's nothing wrong. That kind of trying to mask it, and there is only so much you can mask it. And I didn't really feel down, I didn't feel that bad, I was just emotionless, I was just full of nothing. It's hard to explain, it is really hard to explain.
Yeah, but actually, when I was younger, that was my similar experience, that feeling of feeling nothing.
Yeah.
That I was aware of. I was aware of depression and things like that, but I thought, well, that won't be me, because actually my feeling was, I didn't feel sad or happy. I was just like along the line. And that thing of, oh, do you feel bad? Do you feel down today? And I was a bit, no, I don't feel anything like that. I've none of those feelings whatsoever.
Yeah, that's what I was like. And the best way I can explain it is, I could be sitting in the middle of a street, there could be bombs going off and people dying and happy parades going on, and I wouldn't feel anything about any of it, you know, nothing whatsoever. And it affects everyone. It doesn't really affect you, because you just exist, but it affects everyone around you. Certainly your wife, your children, you know, and because you're distant from everything.
I think so, yeah. And I think there's a thing, isn't it, when you're feeling like there's no emotional reaction, I think you lose a little bit of connection, don't you, with the world around you, where you're thinking anything could be happening here and I wouldn't maybe necessarily be feeling any different.
I wouldn't
about
be
it.
Bothered, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So it could be good, it could be bad.
Yeah.
It could be awful, it could be indifferent, and it wouldn't affect me. And then you start questioning yourself, don't you, as to why you don't feel worse about terrible things, or about why you aren't more excited about positive things. Well, you start to just accepting that things are, well, it just is, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably a perfect explanation. And I think because I'm a relatively simple bloke, I probably wasn't even questioning that, you know, and it just was. And that's how life had become, and that was normal to me. But I can't stress enough that if you do feel like that, talk to someone,
and I think,
because the damage it can do is unreal.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? With that, over a period of time, of thinking, meh, I'm a bit. But then suddenly, if you're thinking for a long period of time, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 3 years, and you're constantly thinking, I just don't care.
Mm.
And in that time, you'll have been to funerals and weddings, you'll have had job interviews and all kinds of things. And if along that time you're just thinking, just don't care, for good, for bad, but you experience everything over that period of time.
Yeah.
And if none of it sort of touches the side, that is probably a big clue. But then if you've never been told that that is an issue, that might be something you feel, or that might be something that you experience, then you wouldn't know, would you? You wouldn't think, oh, mental health issue here, I'll get myself off to the GP.
Yeah, certainly. And even when people do point out that you know, there's a problem, you know, whether there's a problem at home or your family notice you're distant, you're vacant, you still don't realise. You just think, oh, as you said, I must be tired, or it must be this, it must be that. And, you know, it's tough as a bloke, and, you know, probably all blokes listening will agree that you can't just put your hand up and say, I'm having a crisis, or I'm having this, I'm having that. I'll go to the doctors next week, or...
it's hard to get an appointment. Yeah, I won't need it in two weeks.
I'll just take some paracetamol, that type of thing. And it's rife throughout everyone. And I know I'm pointing more towards men, and I'm sure women have the same issues, but yeah, for sure.
But let's call out that sort of idea, that idea that men don't speak or can't speak about this one, because I found through this programme, literally every type of person, every colour, creed, gender, they've all had that same sort of experience that, oh, within my community, within my group, I felt like I couldn't say anything. And there's always a point where I say, when you did speak out, when eventually you had those conversations, when you spoke to family members who you thought you previously couldn't talk to, what reaction was it? And a lot of them say, well, actually, they were a little bit upset with me that I felt that I couldn't speak to them about their problems. What can you remember the reaction that when you actually sort of, your friends, your group became sort of aware of the fact that you'd had issues?
So, you know, my group of friends or close friends and family, they may have not acknowledged it, but they're not the type of people to speak about it. But when I've, you know, spoke to my wife and she's said, then she's known for a long time, and I haven't been able to open up, I haven't been able to speak, and that's probably really I know it has really upset her that I couldn't talk about it, but I can now. But my friends, some of the feedback after me saying, yeah, I've got a bit of a problem, is, you looked like you were soulless, you felt, you know, like there was no one inside you, and that's exactly how I felt. probably part of the reason for part of the problem for me was not speaking, not reaching out, and not telling people how I feel at the time. Would I do the same again? Definitely not. Definitely not.
But I think this is about this next generation, isn't it? Of speaking to young people about it, so that when they spotted those signs in themselves or in their friends, that they would be empowered to be able to just come out and say, I'm noticing this about you. Is there anything that you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Are you feeling like this at the moment? We can have a conversation. There's places you can go. There's things you can read online. There are groups you can join on Facebook. There are organizations you can meet up with. I'll go with you if you want, because we need to get something sorted. It's almost about finding that way. Because I think there's a generation now, the trailblazing generation of mental healthers that are coming through at the moment are people who are getting to the age 30s, 40s, 50s, older, and they're suddenly going, oh, right, now I've realised there's something I should have been aware of when I was in my teens, when I was earlier than that. And if we can now skip generations back and go, right, this is what mental health is, that's going to make a huge difference to somebody who might go, well, it's never going to affect me, but actually it might affect somebody I know, love and care about.
Yep.
When I'm 35... it might be something that I then spot in somebody in a workplace, in a family relationship, that I can then take action on. And if we can educate and empower people in that regard, I think that's the difference that we'll make in terms of ultimately changing the stigma, tackling the stigma around it.
Yeah, for sure. And that's about the stigma bit, isn't it? It's raising the awareness. So shows like this or Facebook groups, you know, flyers, whatever way to get out there. And I think, you know, you touched on workplace, the workplace. I think it's much more being aware of it in the workplace now. There's that support there, you know, workplaces are offering counselling. My workplace, where I work in a local factory, they've been fantastic. They're absolutely made up that I've done this this afternoon, and also, you know, I've said I'll see how it goes, but we can put that out into the workplace. But yeah, it is breaking that stigma, getting the awareness out there, getting people to, you know, hold the hand up and say, I may have a problem, I need to talk to someone. And also on the other side of the fence, that person asking, are you okay, are you really okay?
Have you had people come to you, don't name names on this one, but who've gone, Steve, you know, you know the thing you were saying, I'm a bit like that, or I feel a bit like that. Have you had people who maybe you weren't expecting reach out, maybe apply to join the group, who you thought, oh, I never thought that they would sort of try and speak out, or I never thought that they might have seen that this was something that might engage with them?
Yeah, certainly in the group, I've got a couple of friends. One of them I've been, you know, a distant friend with for a long, long time. I had no idea that he was going through a similar thing. And also the other guy who, you know, I've been friends with for probably 6 or 7 years, through working with him. No idea. And I genuinely thought, you know, he'd never go through anything like that because of his character and, you know, how he is. And he gave me that feedback as well.
Blokes are funny though, aren't we? Because we'll sit down, we'll talk about how we feel about beer, if it's a bit warm, if it's a bit cold,
moan about
if it's
anything,
a bit too hoppy, if the footy's not on, the rugby's not going according to plan, whatever it is, we'll do all of those things. But that thing of going, how do you feel? I'm not feeling very good, actually, is the most difficult conversation ever. You can have a million conversations about what's better, roasted salted peanuts or scampi fries.
Yeah.
You can do all of those things. You'll do pub quizzes together and a million and one different sort of shared experiences. But that shared thing of how you're feeling, no, how you're really feeling, is such a difficult conversation still.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's more difficult with, you know, men's friends, because you've been brought up together, you've known each other forever, you think you know each other inside out, and it's instilled into you, isn't it? It's just, you know, you go out, have a pint and a laugh, and that's what goes on. You don't go asking your mate, you know, are you really all right? How are you feeling today? You know, are you a one, are you a 10? It's just not done. would I go and ask someone how they're feeling? Probably now, yes, I would. Would I 3 or 4 months ago? Probably not. You know, it was just a dig on the arm and there's your pint and let's get on with it.
This will solve everything.
Yeah.
Or not. Steve Taylor is with us. Ego Men Support, a new group which is up and about. Now, it's a closed group on Facebook, up and about on Twitter as well, at Ego Men Support, and has support from the likes of Colin Dolan, who's on with us, and his football therapy group just a few weeks ago. Lee Butler as well, the excellent Radio City dance DJ. There's a Google Hangout thing as well. Steve, just explain how this works in terms of Facebook and Twitter and also the Google Hangouts, because of course these sort of social medias work a little bit differently, don't they? So this is a closed group on Facebook.
Yeah, so we started with just a closed group on Facebook, because the ones that I joined and also Chris had joined were sort of based in the Midlands or nationwide or American, and there was nothing really in the Northwest. So we just decided to start up a group, and it picked up a little bit, and we've made a page as well. So anyone's welcome to like the page. We post information on there, you know, events that we want to do. Certainly lots of information about mental health, more aimed at men, but women are quite welcome to join, like that page. And the Facebook group is closed. Unfortunately, no women allowed in because of some of the subjects that, you know, are discussed. And we want it to be peer-to-peer support. We've got some people who have joined who work in mental health. And if there's anyone out there listening who wants to join, please do. You know, if you work in mental health, and offer some free advice and support to our members. And it basically is, our rules are, there's no judgment on what people want to discuss or how they're feeling, and also peer-to-peer advice. You know, I might put on that I'm having a bad day and blah-de-blah-de-blah, and someone will say, well, I was like that on Wednesday, and, you know, this is how I cope, this is how I dealt with it, and the conversations start rolling from there. And yeah, some of it might be no good, but a lot of it, you know, it is worthwhile information from people who are in the same position.
And just in terms of how the social media works, because it's a closed group, if you put something on that post, it doesn't then post through everybody else's social media.
It's only visible by people who are in the group. And, you know, that it obviously, as all social media, there is a trust element there. But for sure, yeah, our basis is non-judgmental. Giving advice, telling us how you feel. If you're having a bad day, have a bit of a moan. And also, we post a lot of information and links and helplines and stuff on there as well. So, yes.
You do Google Hangouts as well. Just explain how this one works.
So, what we had through someone through Twitter saying, well, I don't really do Facebook. Is there any other way we're doing it? So, we set up a Google Hangouts group chat. So if anyone wants to join that, I will send out some information how we can join that. If I could, I'd do that through you guys.
That's absolutely fine.
Yeah. I haven't got the address to hand.
That's fine. How does it work though, Google Hangout?
So Google Hangout is similar to Skype, right. I suppose. So we have a group chat. And then there's also the option, because of the people in the group, can I chat one-to-one, that type of thing. So it is an instant messenger. It's used throughout office industries as a way of meetings, so that there is video options and stuff like that to talk to people. We can also send information via attachments and things like that through it. So it's a good tool. We've only got a few people on it at the moment. There's obviously... as you know, not everyone knows about it, but yeah, that we're hoping to build that as another medium of doing it.
And so that's Ego Men Support on Facebook as the group. There's a closed group there and a page you can like at Ego Men Support on Twitter. And then stay tuned to both of those, and Steve will also give out some information, hopefully through social media, in regard to the Google Hangout sessions as well. Have you obviously had your own experience, Stephen? You set that out brilliantly for us in the first half of the program. Now people share their own sides of the story. Do you see like people who've had issues based on completely different things to yourself, and you suddenly think, oh wow, like We're complex beings, aren't we, as humans, that actually, you know, things can come from PTSD, depression, anxiety, but they can start from a million and one different places and can manifest themselves in completely different ways as well. Have you been surprised by maybe how open and honest some people have been about their own journeys?
Yeah, certainly. There's quite a few guys. I'm obviously not going to name names for obvious reasons, but, you know, when I sort of went to doctors and had a bit of realisation on mine, you know, I was probably a bit, well, where's me? You know, that was really bad what happened to me. But some of the guys who've shared similar stuff and totally different stuff, you know, I've gone, wow, really wow, that's absolutely horrendous what you've been through. And, you know, when I look at myself, mine's nothing really compared to some of them stories. That's, you know, some of them are really touching, really touching.
I think that's the thing, isn't it, with people sharing their stories as well, that it's about creating environments where people can give. It's the same with this show. People give as much as they want. And if actually people feel like that sharing their story is part of their own sort of journey, then that's to be sort of welcomed as well. At the same time, if people think, well, I'll share my journey in terms of how I'm feeling at the moment, but I don't maybe want to go into those details, or they're not right for this particular forum. I think that's something as well we always need to create our own sort of set of rules around, because I think sometimes people now think, oh, I'm talking about my mental health, therefore I've got to go on a radio show and talk about it, or I've got to pour my heart out on social media. That's not right for everybody but it's about taking what you need, and that's what we should be encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's not. And, you know, my normal persona, my normal personality, I probably would never do this, and I'd never do that on social media. But if it helps people, in my view, then why not? I've got nothing to be ashamed of, really, and that should be the message to everyone. You've got nothing to be ashamed of. But as you say, it's not for everyone. And even within the group, we're absolutely comfortable with that. Say what you feel. We're not forcing you to tell us what's happened in your past or what's happening right now. But there's a lot of men out there who can support each other.
Yeah. And the great thing about signposting as well for things that come in the future is you can help somebody on their next step, you know, as opposed to thinking it's just about where you've been. It can actually now be about where you're going, where you might be going next, where you might be able to get that help.
Yeah, for sure. And signposting's a big thing. So we, as a quick example, we've got a few people from around the country actually joined the group, which is fine, although we're targeting the Merseyside area, which is absolutely fine. And they've said, well, I want to go and do X, Y, and Z in Newcastle, for instance, but I don't know words, and we've actually gone online, found the information and pointed them in the right direction. But certainly, so for someone in a slight crisis, if they want to talk, there's all sorts of apps, there's mental health services local with, you know, 24-hour phone numbers, which we are doing a lot of signposting around. So that information is there within the closed group.
Yeah, and worth as well mentioning the Hub of Hope, which is a brilliant service, which has got all those sort of local organisations on hubofhope.co.uk.
It's fantastic, and one of the guys who we know who works in mental health, and we thank him, you know, hugely for this. He's put that out there within the group, so yeah, that is a fantastic service.
And that's an eye-opener in and of itself, because you suddenly go, oh, right, yeah, that's literally around the corner. Oh, that's what that building is on the high street. Organisations that do various different things, which you can find as well. Hubofhope.co.uk for the latest for that one. That's always a great place to signpost people to. In terms of your, you got a walk and talk session. So you're taking it out of the online and you're going into the real world, dare I say.
Yeah, so, you know, we've done a bit of touching and feeling with the members, and, you know, as I said before, I've done meditation. People look at me a bit strange, but it is actually quite common. A lot of the blokes are doing it. So we want to put emphasis on meditation, some yoga, outdoor stuff, because it's a natural remedy, you know, to some extent. And certainly walk and talk. We wanted to do walk and talk because it's easier talking to someone not sitting face to face. So if you're side by side, you're both going in the same direction, it's easier to break down them barriers, similar to sitting in the car with someone. And obviously over on Thurstiston in the Whittle, beautiful place, ideal setting, and we'll do a couple of miles walk on the 25th of August.
So it's a walk and talk, Thurstiston Beach, going which direction?
Towards Heswell towards Haswell.
Lovely stroll. Lovely stroll there. What sort of time are you doing that? Have you got a kickoff time for it?
So it will be 12 o'clock. Right. And obviously there's car sharing available and stuff like that for people who can't get out there.
On the Facebook group, presumably that's all.
It's on the Facebook group, it's on the Facebook page, it's on Twitter, and Chris is also setting up something on meetup.com, I think, which is another app, but we'll share that within the
I tell you what,
you're bringing
me to things that I'd never even heard of here, Steve. You're right across this. Social media whiz.
Yeah, well, it's not me. I can only just switch my phone on, so Chris sorts all that out.
Hey, Steve, thank you for your time today. Thanks for joining us on the programme. An absolute pleasure. Ego Men Support is the name of the organisation, and Steve Taylor sharing his own journey as well on this week's Mental Health Monday. Back next week on the programme, we'll be meeting the iChoir who sang You'll Never Walk Alone at Wembley this weekend for Liverpool fans ahead of the Community Shield. We'll hear about that one as part of next week's Mental Health Monday. You can be part of the show too. mick@radiocity.co.uk is my email address. If you want to find out more information about local mental health services to you, check out the Hub of Hope on the app, but also hubofhope.co.uk.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle
on Radio City Talk.